Penguin Random House Audio presents The Good Life Method, Reasoning Through the Big Questions of Happiness, Faith, and Meaning, by Megan Sullivan and Paul Blaschko. Read for you by Sean Patrick Hopkins. Note to listeners, this program includes a downloadable PDF with a list of resources for further reading. From Megan, to all the students who've come with us on this journey, and to all the ones I can't wait to meet. From Paul, to Shayla, Solomon, Maria, and Lydia, my goodness. Introduction. Are you not ashamed of your eagerness to possess as much wealth, reputation, and honors as possible, while you do not care for, nor give thought to, wisdom or truth, or the best possible state of your soul? Socrates, in Plato's Apology. We all have goals. This trait is something that sets us apart from other animals. We are self-reflective creatures. We keep score with grade point averages, bank accounts, hours slept, or calories burned, and we're constantly trying to improve. Our particular methods vary. Some of us keep journals or make pacts with friends to get better. Maybe you are the kind of person who writes down an annual plan in a leather-bound journal every January 1st. Maybe you just casually check in now and then with your partner to look at whether you've spread yourself too thin between family, work, and the long list of everything else. Some of us wait for a big turning point to redraw our life maps, a graduation, the birth of a child, a reorganization at work. Maybe a big crisis trips your planning switch. We often take up these goal-setting missions as a way of responding to what we perceive to be our shortcomings. We try to build back better. Yet, as we make progress on one part of our lives, inevitably, something else changes. We think we are on track to assembling that better life, but then we find the pieces aren't fitting together. We have to begin again. But where? In these moments, we start to see the problem. Setting and accomplishing goals is one thing, but where should our goals come from? What should we ultimately be aiming at? We believe that there is a more sustainable way to approach this deeply human work, a method for thinking about our goals that is among the oldest, the most holistic, and the most battle-tested. Philosophy. You may not think of philosophy as being so practical, but many philosophers, from the ancients right up until the modern day, have seen the discipline as indispensable to the good life. In the 4th century BC, Aristotle opened his course on happiness by telling students, "We are conducting an examination so that we may become good, since otherwise there would be no benefit from it." You might associate philosophy with studying very abstract theories of logic, human nature, the universe. But Aristotle thought he was teaching his students the most practical subject on earth, how they could become better at being human by learning to direct their lives toward worthy goals. Following in Aristotle's path, we've dedicated our careers to helping our 21st century students view their good life problems through the philosophical framework he inspired, and it resonates with them deeply. If you read around in the roughly 2,000-year history of philosophy, you discover a persistent theme of people trying to find a solid foundation for their goals, a vision that they can then use to direct their everyday lives. In ancient Greek, a telos is an aim that gives meaning and direction to an activity. For teleological creatures like us, finding the right life goals and figuring out how to accomplish them is the essential human task. Aristotle thinks we are like archers, always trying to fix a far-off target in our sights. He called the goal eudaimonia, the good life. Other ancient philosophers described this fundamentally human task as joining up your circles, joining your short-term plans with more essential goods, your present moment with your past and future, your own life with the lives of others around you, your current desires with a vision for how your life will all fit together into a coherent and meaningful whole. The Greeks and Romans thought that this urge to join up is what makes us different from all of the other animals. We have a capacity to see these connections in our lives and make adjustments to strengthen the links. And they thought that to undertake this work seriously, we need a lot of philosophical coaching. Socrates, Plato, Aristotle, the Stoics, St. Thomas Aquinas, and the philosophers who have continued their work in subsequent centuries have all worked out proven methods for bringing direction to tumultuous lives. It is shocking how vibrant and relevant these time-tested guides still are today. Many of these philosophers lived their own lives during deeply volatile periods. They developed their theories precisely because the circles were getting hard to join up. Philosophy has long been in the business of practical, timeless self-care. But in the modern world, when we are of a mind to work on our goals, we often turn to the newest research we can find. We buy popular business and positive psychology books and search out diet and fitness plans to experiment with. If what we're looking for is life-directing wisdom, if we really want to make deep and lasting changes for the better, some brief reflection is enough for us to realize that these aren't the sources we should be seeking out. They often just add to our disorientation. Advice from a 1970s diet book, avoid fat at all costs, is completely different from what doctors recommend today. Skip the sugar if you want to lose weight. Happiness advice from psychology similarly shifts directions every few years. In the 1980s, the trend was to promote self-affirmation, accept and love whoever it is that you happen to be. In the last decade, the advice was to develop grit instead, buckle down and toughen up. And in our own time, all of this guidance seems insufficient to the moment. Sometimes we're not even sure what sources are worth consulting. We feel stuck. Do you really need an ambitious career to be fulfilled? How involved should you be in your children's lives? How do you, in particular, contribute to something bigger? You might be at sea on how you could even settle such questions. Or maybe you recognize that your life is wonderful, but you simply aren't able to say why. This need for clarity is itself a problem when you try to talk to your friends, your parents, your spouse, or your kids about who you are and why you make the choices you do. We're all looking for direction, an inner voice, a trusted mentor, or a book of wisdom to illuminate the path ahead and to shape our answers to the why questions for each of our goals. You've probably encountered people who have this kind of plan. There's an enviable contentment about them. The big questions of life don't seem to derail them. In fact, they seem to become deeper, even better versions of themselves in the face of the biggest challenges. Now imagine you had a plan like this. You could go to it whenever you hit a rough patch or whenever you wanted to reflect on this life you are living. When you feel at sea, it could serve as your compass. Its sections would contain the insights you need for connecting up your current goals with their deeper reasons. You might ease into your plan by tackling some common good life challenges. How should I allocate my money and time? How should I love the people in my life? How do I balance learning, working, family, friendship? Maybe starting to work out the plan for these aspects of your life would make you a bit more daring. You'd tackle some trickier questions. Where do I stand on religion? Where do I stand on politics and community life? Whom will I follow and why? As your skills and knowledge grow, you may even start to consider some of life's most challenging questions. What will I worship and why? What will I do when the people I love suffer and die? Why am I confident that all of this will be meaningful in the end? Some religious traditions seem to come with such a plan ready-made. The Bible, the Talmud, the Quran. But even wisdom literature doesn't function like a personal user manual. You have to do the work to think rationally about how it applies to your life. Many of us choose instead to follow our winding paths through education, career, and relationships and build as we go. We cobble together our plans for health and longevity. We run experiments with money and mindfulness and collect bits of advice along the way. That internal dashboard tracks salaries, friends, and achievements. We rely on these metrics to...
Sample complete. Ready to continue?